In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, we're now in the middle of Lent, or at least we're well into the season, in the second week. At this point in Lent, if you've given up something, you've probably given it up. If you've taken on something, you've probably taken it on. We're doing whatever it is we're doing. But what, to what end? Lent is a time of reconciliation, discipline, and repentance. But do you ever wonder why? It's not just Lent, but it's all of our Christian faith and life is really about who we are in our life with Christ. And in this time, especially of Lent, we strive for three things. We strive for redemption, wholeness, and grace. Today's gospel lesson was the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees were the predecessors of today's rabbi. They were highly educated. But of course, as we expect, these Pharisees come to talk to Jesus. They usually come and they are testing him. It's what we expect to happen. And so Nicodemus, the Pharisee, comes up to Jesus with a statement. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And before Nicodemus could say anything else, Jesus responds with something very interesting. Jesus responds with, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Now this sparks this dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus, where Nicodemus responds, well, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Do they go back into the mother's womb? And Jesus says, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, when we're reading this passage, as many passages in John's gospel, we might get caught up on a few things. We might get caught up first on Nicodemus's smart alecky response. Because let's be honest, it's exactly what it was. Oh, what am I supposed to go back in my mother's womb now that I'm old? See, you can laugh at the Bible. And you might get caught up too on this born from above business. Or sometimes some translations say born again. But this story is really about those same three themes. It is about redemption, wholeness, and grace. This passage has been used to argue a number of things over the course of Christian history. The passage has been used to argue in favor of making a proclamation of faith in evangelical traditions. You can imagine those tent revivals where people come up. You have Billy Graham, Just As I Am, the altar call. In other traditions, in Catholic traditions, it's been used to argue about the need for baptism. It's been born of water and the Spirit. In either tradition, there's a common thread moving through there. And that common thread is that it points to the idea of new life. And that idea of new life is so important in our Christian life and teaching. Because this idea of new life points back to our own redemption. And even if redemption is more than a once-in-a-lifetime event, it can be a constant renewal that we have various times in our lives where we brush the dust off and we pick ourselves up and we go back into it. Now, thinking about redemption, Nicodemus is not just mentioned in chapter 3 of John's Gospel. He's not just mentioned at this point. He's mentioned two other times. He's mentioned again in chapter 7, where he's arguing with the other religious leaders who at this point are trying to condemn Jesus. And Nicodemus says, now hold on, hold on. We need to listen to this guy before we pass judgment on him. And just in case we're ever wondering where Nicodemus' heart really was, the third time he gets mentioned is after Jesus' death. At Jesus' burial, it was Nicodemus who took aloes and myrrh to anoint Jesus' body for embalming. Truly, we can say one thing. We can gather from this story that this was not the end for Nicodemus. Clearly, he was inspired by Jesus. Now, inspire is kind of a funny word. Inspire comes from the same Latin root as the word spirit. You can even kind of hear that they sound similar. It also comes from the same Latin root as respirate. But it's interesting that it's the same word as spirit. Because the next thing that Jesus says is that the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And it was quite clear that at this moment, the Spirit was at work in Nicodemus. Now, it's not just in Latin, but also in Greek and Hebrew, that you get the same word as spirit. It's the same word also for wind and breath. For some reason, this year in our inquirers class, the Hebrew word has really caught on as kind of becoming this thing that people like to say over and over. The word is ruach. Come on, everybody, just say it. Ruach. Oh, you guys are... You guys, yeah, it sounds like something the dog sang. You're even good with losing an hour of sleep. Well, this word, spirit, wind, breath, is a common theme. Literally, when God made humanity out of clay, God first used water to create that clay, and then when God breathed life into our nostrils, literally creating us out of water and the Spirit. And that same thing comes up in our own birth, being born through water and breathing our first breath, water and the Spirit. It's almost redundant for Jesus to talk about being born of the Spirit because the Spirit is really a part of our very creation. It is in every fiber of our being, and it does not stop there. The Spirit keeps us going. And the Spirit is what brings wholeness. And the Spirit brings life. Our lives are not just biological functions. Breathe in, breathe out, eat, metabolize. We have depth to our beings. We as human beings have a sense of purpose and a connection to things that are bigger than us. We have a sense of wonderment, a sense of awe. And feeding our spiritual lives is just as important as feeding our physical bodies. It is this that gives us wholeness. We are beings that are literally enlivened in every way, literally and metaphorically, by the Spirit. And to forget that, friends, to forget that breaks down the very essence of who we are. And this is why Lent is so important. Because when we spend some time focusing on the oft-forgotten parts of our life, that completes us. But let's be honest, disciplines can be difficult. Doing things to focus on our life can be hard, and sometimes it's hard to just keep up and keep it going. And so we should not ever think that we are alone in this endeavor, that we're not depending on our own abilities to do this. We cannot be without flaws or sins. We cannot perfect our spiritual lives on our own. I'm not the first to say this, but I think it rings true that if you can have a discipline without messing it up, you're probably not challenging yourself enough. If you can do whatever it is you do and not struggle with it, we're probably not stretching ourselves enough. It's okay to mess up sometimes. Because ultimately, what we do to foster our spiritual lives is going to be a reminder that we are imperfect. And when we are reminded of our own imperfections, it is then and only then that we know that we are fully dependent upon God's grace. And it is after this point that Jesus, in our gospel, says probably one of the most famous verses in the entire Bible, made famous, of course, by the guy with the rainbow wig and the big sign at all the sporting events, John 3:16. And I can probably say John 3:16, and I bet 90% of you would be able to recite it without me even saying what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. But that's not the end of the story, because 3:16 is followed by 3:17, and 3:17 is just as important. It says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Yesterday morning, I was hiking out at Petrifying Springs, and I came across a piece of litter on the ground, and I should have brought it, but of course I was a good citizen and I threw it away. But it turned out what I picked up was one of those Bible tracts. You know what I'm talking about? One of those things that tries to scare you out of hell by scaring the, you know, out of you. On the front cover, it had a picture of the devil pulling off a mask of a human face. And it says, Satan is king of this world. Now, Christians have a really bad habit. And this bad habit is pitting the world against faith. Pitting the physical against the spiritual. The reality is, this is theologically problematic. It's an early church heresy called Gnosticism. It's biblically problematic. But it's not just theologically and biblically problematic. It really does us no favors when we are called to go out into the world and proclaim the good news. Because we have to remember that God created this world. And we have to remember that Jesus came here for the explicit purpose to save this world. This is God's world, and we are God's people, members of that kingdom that Jesus spoke of. And while we cannot save ourselves, we don't have the power to save ourselves, God's grace is abundant and generously given. And so this Lent, we are reminded of why we do what we do. We are reminded why we take on things that are intended to bring us closer to God. We are reminded why we reconcile, why we discipline ourselves, and why we repent of wrongdoing. Because these are reminders that we are citizens of God's kingdom. And they are reminders of what Jesus has done for us. They are reminders of that redemption, that wholeness and that grace that Christ has brought us, and reminders of how we too have been saved. Amen.